I want you to open your Bibles, please. John's Gospel, chapter 10. 10th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. And we'll hear the rest of that story some other time. We hope to have a night whenever some of my brethren in the Gospel can just get together and we can talk about the days when we went into the ministry so many years ago, how the Lord has undertaken. Our brother, Mr. Baxter, he said he was born on the 1st of September. I was born on the 6th of August, the same year, 1948. I remember a teacher in school calling us up one by one before the class to give us, we were to announce what our birth was. And I got up and I said, "Sir, I was born on the 6th of August, 1948. And this is what he said to the class. He says, "That was a great day for us that you were born." The only problem was he was drunk whenever he was saying it. But the Lord has been good to us, and the Lord has blessed us all these years. Turn in your Bibles, please, John's Gospel, chapter 10. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen." It's just those words I want us to think on this evening and then put it into its context. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." You see, this wonderful discourse of the Lord Jesus, I believe that it's knit into the chapter that goes before. The story doesn't finish at the end of chapter 9, but what we have in the first 18 verses here of the chapter 10 are linked in with the discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ. The continuation of the address that was given by the Lord Jesus to the Jews that were gathered around him. And of course, remember the man who was cured of his blindness. When the man was given back or given his sight, that man that was born blind. Our Lord Jesus had intimated that the Pharisees thought that they were very clear-sighted or rather far-sighted in spiritual things. And yet in reality, they were as blind as brother Mr. Baxter said, they were as blind as bats. They didn't see their lostness. They didn't see their hopelessness, and they didn't see their condition before God. They were not worthy to be teachers of the Word. They did not know the real light of the gospel of Christ. They were the blind leaders of the blind. And the both would fall into the ditch, or even sadder, into hell itself. And instead of these being guides that were appointed by God and called of God to teach the true doctrine, they were false teachers. They were deceivers of souls. They were devourers of men. They sought to mislead and to destroy the souls of men, and the devil used them in every way that he possibly could. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, as he talked about shepherds and the flock, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this point where he says, "But I am the good shepherd." You see, there were other shepherds, but they were false
They were as the thieves and the robbers, the destroyers of the souls of men and women. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. It's amazing how the Lord Jesus Christ took what they could see before them, and he used very earthly instances just as illustrations of the gospel, and used it as illustration of what he was to the souls of men and women, and what he could do, and would direct their thoughts heavenward by them. You see, I believe that it would be right to say that the Lord Jesus, probably after the labors of the day, was about in the evening time to leave Jerusalem and go to Bethany. Remember, it was a place that he loved to go, to the house of Mary and Aunt Martha and Lazarus. And as he would leave Jerusalem and make his way to Bethany, around him you could hear the bleating of the flocks. Around them you could hear the little lambs and the sheep. And they were returning from the mountain pasture that they had been taken out there during the day. And under the care of the shepherd, they would return back in the evening time, back to their folds, back for the night. In the morning time, the shepherd would go before the sheep and would lead them out and conduct them to fresh pastures for another day. And how that they would lead them, not drive them, because the shepherd here didn't drive the sheep. He led the sheep. He went before them and he led them out and he showed them the way. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was going out from Jerusalem and on his way to Bethany, and the sheep and the flocks would be returning to the fold, the Lord Jesus Christ saw a very plain picture of his relationship to those who trusted him. And he said, I am the good shepherd. You see, the people could see the shepherd. The shepherds there would be with the flocks. And so they could see it in front of their eyes. But he didn't say, I am a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. Because Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the souls of men and women. And as a shepherd, he possessed all the qualities that were necessary for that exalted office as the shepherd of the flock. If we had time this evening, and I know time's away, but in the Old Testament, you often see that picture. How that it was painted, the picture of Israel as the flock of God, and how that God would be the shepherd of the flock. In Isaiah chapter 40, for example, it tells us there in the verse number 9, in Isaiah 40, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and with arms shall rule for him. His arms shall rule for him. Behold, his rewardeth with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. And there we see the picture of the shepherd and the sheep. I want you to notice this evening what the Lord Jesus Christ said in reality is, I am that shepherd. Now is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Do you remember the time in Luke's Gospel chapter 4 when the Lord Jesus Christ went into the temple and he was handed the scriptures? And in Luke chapter 4 it tells us in verse 16 he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read, and there they delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book. And when he closed the book, it says, he gave it again to the minister. And he sat down, and all the eyes of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he said unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And what the Lord Jesus was saying to those people many, many years ago in John's Gospel chapter 10, and he was painting the picture of the shepherd and the flock, and how that God would be the shepherd of his people. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." Let me just think a few moments with you this evening. That statement, "I am the good shepherd." You know, he's a good shepherd because of many reasons. I can't name them all, but first of all, can I say, he's a good shepherd in that he provides and secures for the sheep all the blessings they need. A good doctor is a doctor who preserves the health and cures the disease of the patient. A good king is a king who secures order in his kingdom. He secures the peace and prosperity of his subjects. A good shepherd is the one that protects the life and provides for the nourishment and the care of his sheep. Remember the psalmist said in Psalm 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus is saying, "That's me. I am the good shepherd." You notice what the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Why? Because the shepherd provides for the sheep. And that's what's talked about in John chapter 10. In actual fact, John chapter 10 in many ways is an exposition of the 23rd Psalm. Because it tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters," or "He leadeth me into green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters." There's the nourishment for the sheep. Now, what does John 10 tell us? He goeth before his sheep, and he leadeth them out. Where does he lead them? He leads them into pastures, the green pastures. He provides for the need of his children. You see, the Lord speaks about others here. The one who climbs up another way. He speaks about the false shepherds as the thief and the robber. What does the thief do? The thief steals. Our brother, Mr. Baxter, said when he was a young man, young lad, that's what he did. He was a thief. Because let me tell you, whilst you and I may laugh at the fact that he was getting the cheap petrol, he was stealing it. And friend, he was wrong. He was wrong. It wasn't his. And the Bible tells us about this false shepherd that comes, and my, he comes and he climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. The thief, the deceiver, the crafty, dishonest one who uses any means to steal a sheep. But why did he say a thief and a robber? Are those not the same? No, friend, they're not. Because a thief will use any means to steal the sheep, but a robber is one who will use violence and cruelty to destroy and devour, if necessary, to get the sheep. Judas was a thief. Barabbas was a robber. And he was a murderer. And you know, the old devil uses false shepherds today to destroy the souls of men and women, to thieve from them, just as the serpent came and stole the innocence of Adam and Eve in the garden. Just as he came to destroy their souls, so the devil will come to destroy and to damn your soul in the very depths of hell itself. But Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. Sin will damn you, but Christ will deliver you. Satan and sin and the power of sin will take you to darkness. But Christ, who is the light of the world, will take you to the everlasting day of heaven. The devil comes to kill, to take life. Jesus says, I am come that ye might have life. And praise God, the life that he's speaking about, I give unto my sheep eternal life. And they shall never perish. I wish I had the time to go into that tonight. Listen. He's the good shepherd. He provides for his sheep. I think of all the blessings that we've been looking at in our Bible study in the Sabbath morning. I think of the good shepherd. How he has blessed us, friend. How he has provided a salvation which is full and free for his people. That we will never perish. That we will never be in hell. That we will never be separated from God, but will dwell in his presence for all eternity. Because the psalmist who started with, the Lord is my shepherd, says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's the good shepherd, in that he provides and secures for the sheep all the blessings he needs. Listen, the shepherd leads them out to the pasture. And the shepherd brings them home to the fold. But then secondly, he's a good shepherd because he secures all of these blessings. Listen. At the expense of himself. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And friend, all the blessings that you and I have in Christ could only be secured by the sacrifice of his life. He said, the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He talks in that passage about the hireling, But you see, the hireling is only concerned about his position, his prestige, his wages. He's not really interested in the sheep. But the shepherd, he giveth his life for the sheep. The hireling, when the danger comes, he flees. But what about the shepherd? No, thank God. The shepherd doesn't flee. For praise God, he lays down his life. He said, I have the power to lay it down. In verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I lay it down to secure the blessing. And I take it again to bestow the blessing. Because I die, all my sheep are saved from death by my dying. Because I live, all my sheep live also by my life. He died in my room and in my stead. Isaiah the prophet in the 53rd chapter of the book says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes we are healed. Yes, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's the message that Mr. Baxter talked about. He heard about the cross. For the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the good shepherd, friend. One day he went to Calvary. And he died for the sheep. One day he went to Calvary and he shed his own precious blood because he gave his life for the sheep. Surely, the sacrifice of Christ is the overwhelming proof that he indeed is the good shepherd. He gave his life for you. He died in your guilty room instead. He shed his precious blood that you might have eternal life. He died, as we said this morning, the just for the unjust. The righteous one for you and I, the unrighteous. To bring us to God. But there's one last thought I want you to think about. He's a good shepherd because he provides for the sheep. He's a good shepherd because he gives his life for the sheep. Thank God he's a good shepherd in that he knows and is acquainted with the sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. There it is again. And I know my sheep. I know them. What interest he has in his people. I often think of that passage of God's word, you know, when it tells us in Luke chapter 16 about the story of the rich man whose name is not given, and Lazarus, the poor man who was destitute, and yet the book records his name. And as far as man's concerned, the rich man's name would have been recorded and Lazarus wouldn't have been mentioned. He was a nobody. And yet when you read in Luke's Gospel chapter 16, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ tells about two souls
that went out into eternity. One went to heaven and one went to hell. One had nothing as far as life was concerned. One had everything as far as life was concerned. One died and went to Abram's bosom. The other died and was buried. No mention of the poor man's burial, because his body would have been taken and thrown on the dirt heap with the rest of the carcasses. And yet, what blesses my soul is this. Jesus called the nobody by his name. Lazarus. But there's no mention of the name of the rich man. Why? Because he said, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep. He knew them. And maybe you're here tonight, and maybe as far as the world is concerned, listen, in worldly standards, you have nothing. But friend, let me tell you, you're known. Do you know why? Because your name is written in heaven. You're a child of the King.
The unsaved man, listen, then shall he say unto them, Sinner, I never knew you. He said, I know my sheep. And friend, if you're in the family of God tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, it doesn't matter what man thinks about you. He knows his sheep. He knows your name.
Your name's engraved in the palm of his hands. Your name's written on his heart. He says, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep. Not a bit of wonder the hymn writer said, loved with ever lasting love. He knows you by name. He found you and me as nobodies. But I'm not a nobody anymore. I'm somebody special tonight, because the very God of heaven knows my name. Isn't that amazing? That my name's known in heaven tonight. And in actual fact, it goes further. That not only is my name known in heaven, but the Lord Jesus Christ went to prepare a place for me, and the Bible says there's a place reserved in heaven for us. And thank God there's a reservation made. There's a mansion in glory, and it's mine. I know it's mine. Listen, friend, here's the last little thought in this. I know my sheep. Go back to verse 14. And then I love this. And am known of mine. Thank God in sovereign grace, he sought me. And he bought me with his precious blood, friend. And yes, he knows me. And here I stand in this pulpit tonight and listen. And I know him. I know my Lord. You see the intimate relationship with God and his children? When you're in the family of God, friend, and I'm known of mine. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. Oh, the joy that we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known.
Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," he says, "I will come into him and will sup with him." Listen. "And he with me. I will sup with him, and he will sup with me." What does that mean? We have fellowship. The one with the other. I talk to him. Praise God, he talks to me. On bended knees, I plead his precious name. I talk to him even as I go about my daily business. I talk to my Lord because I know him. I'm not a stranger to him anymore. I'm in the family. I have been redeemed by his precious blood. I have been born again of the Spirit of God. Thank God I know him. "And I will sup with him," says Jesus. "And he will sup with me." Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the Good Shepherd. My Savior. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. Is he yours tonight? Can you honestly say, preacher, I'm glad I'm a child of God. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. I'm glad that he has given to me the greatest gift that I could ever receive, that man could never give, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Or are you strangers? You don't know him. May the Spirit of God draw you to him tonight. For Jesus' sake, let's pray. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, Lord Jesus, I love you now. Oh God, I realize that my love is so imperfect. But oh God, when I think of thy word which says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Oh, that's the amazing love of God that is so perfect and so powerful. There are young people that are perhaps in this gathering tonight and they feel unloved. And oh God, perhaps there are those tonight that are just wandering about in the maze of life and they seeking for life. And yet, Lord Jesus, you said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Bring them to Jesus. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, let me say to you, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl in this service tonight and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, I beg you in God's name, come as a sinner. Come and welcome to Jesus. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He won't turn you away, friend. He won't cast you out. But you know what he'll do? He'll wonderfully bring you in. Oh, to be closed in with Jesus. Safe. And secure. I'll be in the minister's room. May God give you grace to come. And there we'll open the Word of God, friend. We'll show you from the Book of God. Holy Word of God will show you God's way of salvation.
Backslider, don't wander anymore. Come on back. He loves you still. Yes, He knows you. He knows all about you. He knows you're wandering. And yet, isn't it amazing? He loves you. And He says, come on home. Oh, Spirit of God, thank You for showing to those of us who are saved tonight, thank You for showing us the beauty of Jesus. Thank You for drawing us to Christ. Bring many more tonight. Bring them now. In Jesus' name.